Before this dreadful year of 2020, no one had heard the term Zoom fatigue before, right? And now it's become all too common among students and those who have to work from home. People stare at their computer screens or their phone screens or whatever they have for hours while they watch their teacher teach or they meet with their coworkers from a distance. And so that little screen has become sort of a window into the world, which in one way is a blessing that we have that when we can't physically be near to other people. But then after hours and days and weeks of meeting with people over Zoom or Google Classroom or FaceTime or whatever it is, we get tired of staring at that little screen, tired of not seeing people in person. Tired of life not getting back to normal. Then again, we know it's not just about the pandemic and the screens that we have to stare at when we're not in person. We know there are lots of other problems in the world, physical and emotional and spiritual causes of fatigue that we may experience. There are the big issues that wear us out, like the election, the political turmoil of the past year, unrest in our cities that flares up from time to time, racial injustice, domestic violence. And then there are all the personal struggles that we face, financial worries and illness and relationship problems, all the ordinary anxieties of ordinary life. And so now we deal with Zoom fatigue and election fatigue and financial fatigue and virus fatigue and just plain old fatigue. Well, the good news for today, and we're here to talk about good news, not all the problems in the world. The good news today is that God wants to give you new strength. And He wants to help you keep going and keep moving forward. God wants to help you to persevere. To persevere through the challenges and hardships and struggles of this life and all that we're facing now. This morning we're going to finish reading Hebrews chapter 11 that we've been working through the past few weeks. And today we'll read the end of chapter 11 and a few verses into chapter 12. It's an inspiring passage about the great cloud of witnesses, people of faith who have gone before us from the Old Testament, as well as those in generations and more recent years who've gone before us, those who surround us with their stories of faith, those heroes of faith that we can look back on and be reminded that God has been faithful to them. And so He will also be faithful to us. And these verses remind us that God sustains His people. He gives us strength in place of weariness. God protects us. God provides for us. And God helps us to persevere. So listen to this passage, beginning in Hebrews 11 at verse 32. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith. Yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. What a beautiful passage of Scripture, and what an important message for a time like this. To persevere, to remain strong, to not grow weary, to stay strong in our faith despite the trials of the world around us. There's so many powerful images here, and I especially love the words that say, speaking about those saints who went before us and all that they endured and how they remained faithful, and then it says the world was not worthy of them. The world and all of its troubles tried to knock these men and women down. All those who stood against God and against people of faith tried to keep these people from moving ahead in honoring God and being obedient. They tempted them to give up. They threatened them with torture, even death, if they would just renounce their faith, and yet they remained strong in God. And so they endured suffering and persecution, even death. But these people persevered in their faith, and they trusted in God's promises. They believed that God had something better in store for them. In faith, people of the Old Testament looked ahead to the coming of Jesus. And those are the promises that they held on to, that one day God would fulfill all that He had promised, which would be ultimately fulfilled in the giving and the coming of the Savior. And so the people of the Old Testament looked ahead. They longed for the promise of the Savior to be fulfilled. And that hope gave them strength. And they persevered because they believed in what God had promised. And in the very same way, we now look back on the coming of Jesus. We now look back on the promises that God has fulfilled when Jesus came into this world. And so our faith in Christ gives us strength, and we also can persevere because we believe in the God who keeps His promises, especially the great promise to send Jesus as our Savior. So the message of encouragement for us today, and we need this encouragement because of all that we're experiencing in the world and maybe in your own life. It might not be the virus. It might not be the pandemic that's causing you the greatest stress today. It could be some other difficulty that you're facing. But the encouragement for us today is let us run with perseverance. Let us run with perseverance despite the hardships and the worries. Let us keep pushing ahead by God's strength. Let us keep moving forward in faith. Let us keep running ahead with the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. So how do we run with perseverance? As we think about these men and women of faith from long ago, how did they keep going? How did they maintain that faith despite the hardships, despite the world standing against them? How do they persevere, and how can we persevere? How do we keep moving ahead in faith even when our bodies or our hearts feel the weariness and the worry that so often come upon us? These verses in Hebrews 11, again into chapter 12, give us several reasons that we can keep running, reasons that we can persevere. And we begin with this. Let us run with perseverance, inspired by the heroes of faith who went before us. And again, the passage talks about those heroes out of the Old Testament, but we know there are also, in more recent times, heroes of faith within the church family, people that we knew, people that we have read about and heard about in recent or distant generations. But we find inspiration and hope from those people of faith who have gone before us, like the faithful judges and kings and prophets of Israel. They were great not in their own strength and wisdom. And as you read through the stories of the Old Testament, you see they had problems and weaknesses. They gave in to temptation just like we do. They were ordinary people in many ways, but in faith, they trusted in God. And God then enabled them to do mighty things. It says their weakness was turned to strength. And we need to remember that promise. Their weakness was turned to strength. We need to remember Samson. Of course, he was famous for his mighty strength, right? Samson, as long as he let his hair grow, he was strong and powerful and did amazing things and fought battles and conquered the Philistines time after time. But then you also remember what happened to Samson. He allowed his hair to be cut because he told the secret of his great strength. And then his strength faded away. And he was captured by the Philistines and they tortured him and they ridiculed him. But then God restored Samson's strength one final time. And when his weakness was turned to strength, Samson pushed over the pillars of the temple of the Philistines as they were mocking him and jeering him and making him dance and entertain them. And he pushed those pillars down and the temple fell and killed himself, but also his captors. We also remember Barak. You may not remember Barak. The person you may remember in that story, though, is a woman named Deborah, who's not mentioned here, but is far more prominent in the story in the book of Judges. Barak and Deborah worked together. Deborah was the judge and the ruler of Israel at the time. Barak was the commander of the army. And Barak went to Deborah and said, "We have this great threat coming against us, but if you will lead us, Deborah, then I'll go behind with the army and we will deal with this threat." And some people looked down on Deborah because she was a woman, because she was assumed to be weak. But God gave her strength and gave Barak strength. And if you remember the end of that story, another woman named Jael, who God gave an extraordinary bit of courage and strength to defeat the Canaanites. We also remember David, who God called from the fields, just a lowly shepherd, and God gave him strength to be a great warrior and a king. We remember the prophets of the Old Testament who spoke God's word, even when people refused to listen to them. They turned on the prophets, they criticized them, they imprisoned them, they beat them, they even killed some of the prophets. But God gave his prophets strength to stand up for truth. And so they kept proclaiming God's word. And in the same way, God gives us strength to keep running through illness, through worry, through trials, through fears. Never forget the truth that we learned from these great men and women of the past. That God doesn't expect you to be strong enough. He doesn't expect you to be smart enough or good enough or righteous enough. What God asks of you and me is that we trust in Him to provide what we need. And when we trust in Him, then He can enable us to do mighty things, just like He enabled those who have gone before us also to do mighty things in His name. Now we find another way that we can persevere. So our second lesson is, let us run with perseverance, throwing off temptation and fear and doubt. Listen to these words again in verse 1 of chapter 12. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, and again, men and women of the Old Testament, those who have gone before us, all those who are now rejoicing before God in heaven, and also are serving as that cloud of witnesses of our lives, supporting us in heaven there, praising God as God supplies our needs. Since we're surrounded by that great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out before us. Life is hard enough without carrying the extra baggage of sin, of worry, of fear, of doubt, without allowing temptation to come along and trip us up. If you want to grow in your faith, if you want to grow closer to God, then you first need to die more fully and completely to sin and to selfishness and to all those things that may hinder a deep and abiding faith in your heart. We need to throw those things off, those broken and failing parts of our lives. Those need to be cut away, and they need to be thrown off. Is there a temptation, as you think about your own life, maybe no one else knows, no one else sees, but is there a temptation that keeps tripping you up? Then maybe you need to change your habits and avoid that place or avoid that topic or avoid, maybe it's a person who continues to bring whatever that temptation is before you. And replace those things or those people with something or someone else who does honor God and can help you to live a life that better honors Him. Or is there a fear or worry that keeps filling your heart and that you just can't stop thinking about? And I think there are a lot of people right now living with those sorts of fears that you just can't get over. You can't stop worrying about them. Well, somehow you need to change your pattern of thinking. And when those thoughts begin to rise in your heart, when those worries begin to fill your mind again, maybe you need to start praying. Or maybe you need to open up God's Word and read. Or maybe you need to call a faithful friend and ask for a word of encouragement. But don't give that fear a foothold to advance in your heart. Or maybe you struggle with doubt. Maybe you struggle thinking God's not able to meet your needs. Or God won't keep His promises. Maybe you struggle with those sorts of spiritual worries, that kind of doubt. And you need to fill your heart now more fully with God's truth and God's goodness. And again, to invite other believers to come around you and to speak faith and hope and encouragement to you. And I hope some of these words today bring that encouragement. So we need to throw off those things that slow us down. Throw off those temptations and fears and doubts and worries. And then we need to turn our focus more fully toward our Savior. So let us run with perseverance, fixing our eyes on Jesus. People often ask, where is God when it hurts? Where is God through the troubles of my life? Why is God silent when I need to hear Him the most? And it often feels that way. The truth is, God never changes. God never goes away. God is also never silent. When we face challenges and hurts and grief, God is still faithful. God is still there with us. He walks with us. He gives us comfort and peace and strength. He keeps speaking the wisdom of His Word to us if we're willing to read it. And that's why we need to keep our focus on Jesus, especially when it's hard, when we're tempted to give all of our attention to the troubles of the world. And you turn on the news and it's all bad news these days. So turn off the news. Turn off that constant stream of negative, depressing information. And instead, fill your mind and your heart with the hope and the truth and the peace that God wants to give you. Read His Word and pray. Gather with other believers and listen to what God is saying in their hearts and in their lives. And take more of His Word into your heart and remember Jesus. Remember what Jesus has done for you and for His people. Listen again to what it says. Verse 2 calls us to fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. That is, Jesus is the one who got faith right. And so we need to follow His example. And it says, for the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary or lose heart. And those final words give us another way that we can keep running. Let us run with perseverance, not growing weary or losing heart. There was a time back when I was younger, in college and seminary days, when I was a runner. And I was never a big runner, but I would go out maybe twice a week or so, run 2 or 3 miles, and it felt good to get your heart pounding a little bit and to feel that good sort of tired after you exercise. But they say that long-distance running is a mental activity. Of course, you need legs and lungs and a heart that beats fast, but mostly you need mental toughness to run. You need to be able to ignore the weariness, because when you exercise, when you run, you get tired. You begin to get weary. There's pain that you experience, but you need that mental toughness to keep going. It's probably why I don't keep running now in my 40s. But you see, the same is true for our faith, right? You need that desire when life gets hard, when the burdens feel heavy. You're going to be tempted to give up. You're going to be tempted to give in. You may want to stop praying. You may feel like you're going to stop trusting in God. You may feel like it's too much effort to keep loving the people around you. And so when you get tired or depressed or worried or fearful, that's when you're most vulnerable to the temptations and the fear and the attacks of the world or the attacks of Satan. And so when you start to feel weary, that's when you need to keep pushing ahead. That's when you need to keep running and keep praying and keep worshiping and keep trusting in God and His goodness. And when you need encouragement and when you need refreshment, reach out to your church family. And maybe we need to say, especially to those who we aren't seeing as much on Sunday morning and you're home worshiping right now, if you need that encouragement of your church family, that maybe it's not safe for you to come and be in a crowd like this, but reach out and ask for those words of encouragement and prayer and support. And those of us who are able, reach out to those who we don't see as often. But keep going. Run with perseverance. Keep seeking after God's heart. Keep sharing the love and message of Jesus Christ with those in need around you. And if you keep doing those things, then even during this hard season of life, your faith can deepen. And if all of us persevere together, then God's kingdom will grow. And the name of Jesus will be praised more and more. And so as we enter into this Thanksgiving week, that's going to probably look different than normal Thanksgiving for a lot of our families. But one of the ways that you can keep running in faith is simply to give thanks. To stop thinking about all the problems and worries and troubles of this world, and instead to give thanks to God for His blessings, for His love, for the great gift of hope through Jesus Christ. We rejoice and we give thanks because Jesus is our Savior. And He gives us strength to run with perseverance. So let's pray and give thanks to Him now. Gracious Father, we do give You thanks today for Your Word that encourages us, the stories of people of faith who've gone before us, for the promises that You've fulfilled and the promises that are still waiting to be fulfilled that we know You will bring to reality when Jesus returns. Lord, give us that hope. Give us the strength we need for today. Help us not to grow weary. Help us not to lose heart, but to focus on Jesus and to give thanks, Lord, because You are a good God. No matter what we face, we know that You are faithful. And so I pray Your blessing and Your peace and Your hope to be with each one of us. Lord, we rejoice before You today. We ask that You'd give us strength to run, to persevere, to keep growing in faith and to share with others the hope that we find through Jesus, our Savior. We pray this in His name. Amen.